Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, the place to come for movie reviews, along with some extra fun talk about movie-related topics like box office and awards. You can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and basically any place else you can find podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter for even more content. If you like what we do, feel free to share us with your friends, like and leave feedback wherever you listen to us, and let us know what you think. Now, let's get on with the show.
Ryan, big movie opening tomorrow, day and date, theaters and HBO Max from Warner Brothers and director Lana Wachowski. The Matrix Resurrections. Keanu Reeves returns for the fourth installment. I already wrote up the review, my review, and posted it. And I will add this to that post when we're done. So anyone that wants to know what I thought before we start tete-a-tete-ing here can go read that. But you saw this before I did. Did you see it in New York?
No, they last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
You saw it before I did. You didn't get to see it last night when I did with a bunch of regular folks and press. What did you think of The Matrix Resurrections?
I like the original trilogy. I do think the second one was a little disappointing, but I think, you know, and the third was better than I think it gets credit for. That trilogy was pretty, I mean, it ended.
Yes, it did.
So the fact that we have a fourth film raises a lot of questions, which they do address to a certain extent. Well, most of it, I think they don't know that I came away with too many questions about how this fourth one happened. I think that I've become a little hypersensitive about movies literally redoing themselves.
Okay.
And I think a lot of it stems from The Force Awakens, where you have, rather than breaking in a new ground and going in a new direction, you literally just go where you've been before.
Okay.
And that's not exactly what happens with this entire film, but it literally starts off with recreations of the original scenes from the original film.
Yep.
And they're not done as well as they were in the original film. And it's not just a question of, well, it was new in that film, or, you know, the surprise or whatnot. It literally is not shot as well, or as creatively, you know, with the same set of creativity.
Right.
Which was part of what made The Matrix so iconic was they did visually a lot of stuff that hadn't been done before. They made some of the coolest, prettiest gunfights and action sequences that have ever been, you know, in a film. And I didn't find this film to be remotely as creative or as beautiful. It felt a little dull to me.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I'll stop you when you're wrong.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I think they got too meta. I think it's a very meta film where it's constantly referring,
to itself
and what part of it is contemplating what the original film was trying to say. you know, what was the original film about? Was it about this? Was it about this? Was it about this? And so it almost feels like this is a rebuttal to all the people who, you know, asked for you know, anyone involved with the film to explain it.
Right.
Or, you know, the original trilogy. You know, well, what are you trying to say with it? Well, this film is saying, well, what were we trying to say with it? Were we trying, you know, I mean, it's right. almost playing with that. You know, and I think that the situation that they set up is not completely out of question. The Matrix has been reestablished. That makes sense. When something works, someone is likely to go and try to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And the Matrix, you know, in the original trilogy, largely worked. And the only reason why it didn't ultimately work was because you had someone like Neo, or, you know, a handful of people who, you know, what, ruined the party,
right.
I suppose. You know, crashed the party and called the cops and turned out, got, you know, or what, whatever.
Yep.
So, you know, and there is... This film has a real focus on kind of spiritual connection and love that was not in the original trilogy much of at all. Obviously, the relationship between Neo and Trinity is in those films, but it's a very physical thing. There's no, I don't know. I guess there is the seer and kind of this, it was predicted that I would right. fall in love with it, but it didn't feel, if there's one thing that, if the original trilogy was very, I don't know, like I said, physical rather than spiritual when it came to human interaction.
Right.
It was more about the woman in the red dress and the sexual nature of what makes us human is we have sex rather than we have a spiritual connection with those around us or whatever.
Right.
And so the film's slightly different in that regard. And this is kind of more about the spiritual connection between, you know, Neo and Trinity. I don't know that that's as interesting as they think it is. At least as a movie. But it is an unusual choice. That almost makes this film more optimistic than the original trilogy could ever have been. It's more romantic in that sense. It's more...
even though they share very little screen time.
Anyway, yeah, but yes, you're right. They share very little screen time, and what screen tend to share is almost, well, I mean, it's a little weird. It's a little awkward. It's a little, I don't want to say creepy.
It is odd. It's uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable. You know, the situation that they're in. And I don't know that it entirely works. I think really there's some really interesting ideas that are in this film.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that it gelled. I don't think, and I think the constant, because they use a lot of footage from the first film.
Yeah.
And that's jarring in the sense of sometimes they're showing you a recreation of a scene with the original scene playing behind them, which mm-hmm. only kind of reminds you about how much you liked aspects of the first one that are missing from this one.
Yeah. You say this is the first trilogy was a lot more physical. It was very philosophical. It was trying to be very deep, and it started very deep.
Yeah, but I think it was when it came down to human, what makes us human.
Right.
At that point, the difference between a machine and a human was we have sex.
Right. And raves and sex and raves. Yeah. So, but I think part of the problem on this one is that it takes all of that depth and the creativity that you talked about. And it just replaces them. Well, you know, there's big booms, and recycled imagery and dialogue, literally recycled. I mean, or repurposed, however you'd like to put it. But a lot of the dialogue is just copy paste. One of the early lines in that, you know, when we're going through the altered opening scene, you know, literally the movie started and I said out loud, I said, are they really going to redo the opening scene?
Yeah.
And they did. And I was, oh my God. And you know, one of the characters, you know, why use old code to make something new? And you know, that's the film, like in a nutshell. If you want a, you know, really honest movie poster, that's the quote you put on it. And it's, I mean, but nothing in this film really rises to the level of those first of even the first film when the technology wasn't advanced. I mean, the fight scenes are worse. The camera work is worse. You know, normally, you know, the fight scenes in the first one were all wide open shots where you got to see all this great wire work and you know, Eastern, you know, fight choreography. And in this one, all the freaking fight scenes are either dark or they're shot in these really close up things where the fighting isn't really even on the screen.
Yeah.
And it's just, and then we bring back character after character after character, some as we remember them, some as we don't.
They explain some of that, and the explanation is legitimate.
Yeah,
I don't know if it justifies what they've done.
I mean, like the whole Merovingian scene.
Yeah,
could have been gone. Because the only character in that, you brought some old friends, and it's like the Merovingian and a bunch of quote unquote exiles that we'd never seen before that looked like rejects from Solar Babies, or I don't even know what, hackers.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And the Merovingian looked, I said he looked like Robin Williams just escaped from Jumanji.
Correct.
And it's just like, why? What purpose does that scene even serve? Does that scene, it doesn't.
It's again self. It's how can we loop this back and connect it to something from before?
You had it, Neo, and that's your link. That's explained by the architect in the third film.
Yeah,
it's like I don't get it. The some people. I mean, I am clearly in the minority thus far online based on what I'm reading, because there are people that are like, oh, this is, you know, all these callbacks and it's very meta and it's self-aware and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but they're the same ones that complain about Ghostbusters or Spider-Man, you know, that's not, you know, but it's like, but I think this is closer to Rise of Skywalker levels of unself-aware fan service than, I mean, Ghostbusters did it right. Spider-Man did it right. Everything they got right, this does not.
I think that it, you know, and they make jokes about bullet time being the reason why the first film was successful and things along those lines. And I think they're missing the point. Because there was a lot of visual stuff that happened in the first film, but there was also, it felt like it was about something. And it was about that feeling that we all have that we're going about our mundane lives and that sense of, isn't there something more, you know? And wouldn't it make sense if this is just, you know, some fake thing and we're all tied up to machines somewhere because our lives should be better than this.
Right. Or, I mean, but even,
like, you know, something,
even, but, even and, bullet and, time, as much as, which bullet time becomes the running joke.
Yeah.
Throughout this film. But which, in that, in the original film, bullet time served like a narrative purpose.
Sure. It was the, him coming into him, you know, I mean,
well, and, yeah, and her, and it was a part of explaining how that world worked, as opposed to just this weird gimmick. You know what I mean? I mean,
which is what they're kind of dismissing it as, because it wasn't. It was you know, I guess it would be asking too much for this film to rewrite the book. But is it? You know, I think of, you know, Blade Runner and then the Blade Runner's sequel, and to me, while radically different in visual,
right?
You know, but they both felt. But they feel like they're spiritual, you know, they feel like they it's part of the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it almost feels like someone else directed this film who liked the original film, but didn't know how to do most of the stuff that they did.
Right.
It's just so uncreative.
Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, you tweak a couple scenes in this, and this is like the scary movie version of Matrix. I mean, it's literally that close. And if that's what Lana was going for, I don't know why. So it can't have been. It just does not work at all. I came out of it and... I mean, I a lot of the audience was, you know, the general audience was raving, and most of the critics were shaking their head. Most of us were. I mean, honestly, my I came out, I looked at one, and I just shook my head. I said, "What a shit show." Now, I slept on it, and I'm, you know, I told you dumpster fire. Yeah. But it's like, okay, maybe I'm not at complete dumpster fire at this point, but it is still way below good. It's just not. It just feels like a lesser version, both in, from a script standpoint, from a performance standpoint, from a cinematic standpoint. None of it is really that good. Keanu is very earnest doing his work. Neil Patrick Harris is the only one that even comes close to, I mean, really kind of embodying and trying to elevate his character. And it's just, I just think it falls so short on every aspect that I don't, I mean, clearly someone has complete creative control of the Matrix, because, you know, the first three did so well, but man, oh man, I don't understand why people want this film to be so great. I mean, I understand wanting it to be great. I don't understand how you can argue that it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And we get to the end and they set up for a sequel.
But it's almost like, do we care?
Yeah.
At that point, because what is that sequel? Is it the one we've already seen? Only exactly. This time it's, there's a slight difference. You know,
I don't know.
No, you know, there was an element of danger and risk and tension that existed in the original trilogy.
Yes.
And that they actually followed through with, in the sense of, you know, it shouldn't be, if you haven't seen the original trilogy, people die.
Right.
You know, lots of people die. And it just feels like this is set in a world where people don't die. They don't need the miracle to save them, because people just don't really, it's almost as if they've taken a challenging video game and made it a lot easier.
They put it on noob mode,
you know, or, you know, something, but, I mean, I didn't hate it, but I didn't particularly like it. And I would rather hate it than be wherever I kind of am at the moment with it.
Well, I'll loan you some of my disdain, but yeah, that's still, I mean, I could loan you a fair amount and still be on the underside. I just
think visually it was disappointing. Like, and are there some beautiful shots? Well, yeah.
But overall,
it almost feels like they're ripping themselves off rather than doing anything creative and new. Yeah, I was more disappointed than I was angry or upset or whatever. You know, I guess my question is, you know, they've been asking to do a fourth film for ages. Why was this one the one that got made?
Yeah.
You know, why was this the one that everyone signed on to? Was it because, in a way, it gives the middle finger to everyone? And you know, but I don't know.
I don't know either. I really don't. It's just nuts is what it is. It's just nuts.
And this might be a controversial take, but kind of wasn't a lot of this done better in Free Guy?
In some ways.
Some of it kind of, some of that stuff, but anyway.
I mean, you know, but some people argue that Free Guy was better when it was the Lego movie. So,
yeah.
take that where you will. But no, I totally get what you're saying. So, in case it's not clear, then neither one of us is really high on The Matrix Resurrections. And
no, in my review, I said, you know, if I watch it again, I'll probably like it a little more. But you know, so initially, I wanted to give this like a 5,
right?
10. And then I, you know, and I think if I revisit it, it's probably going to be closer to a 6. But I mean, is that?
That's not where a Matrix movie should be.
You know, is that where? You know, exactly. I mean, the first film was decidedly higher,
yeah,
than that. And you know, they've been chasing the success of the first film ever since, and never quite replicated it. But I think they did a better job in the other sequels than they did it in this one. Even though some of the other ones got, they just got way too up in their own heads.
A little too esoteric.
Yes. Well, you know, everyone wants to be the smartest person in the room.
Well, that's great, but don't outthink your audience.
There you go. Yeah. But,
and I think they dumbed it down.
I just don't think it was inspired. Yeah.
No. All right. There you go. Uninspired. That's the word we'll go with for The Matrix Resurrections. Tomorrow, or today, depending on when you're listening or watching this, December 22nd, day and date, theaters, HBO Max, 2.5 hours of that. A lot more movies to talk about before the end of the year, but the holidays are coming, so please enjoy your holidays wherever you are spending them, with whomever you are spending them. Be nice, be kind, and have a good time. And, you know, find a good movie and watch it. As a family, as a unit, as a social group, if you will, however you define that. So, but until we get back to those, I'm Mark. That's Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
Thanks.
And we'll talk to everyone later. Bye-bye.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.